So we had a technical glitch last month, and we're re-recording the beginning of this wonderful guest speaker that we had in October. So I'm pleased to re-welcome Julie Lane, who is a dear friend of ours that's been with us through almost the entirety of our existence at ICONS. She's a California activist, a scholarship college athlete, mother, a lifelong Democrat, and a lesbian. And she is here to talk to us about how to stand up and get going if you want to do something to protect women's rights in sports. Thank you so much for doing this again, Julie.
You're welcome. I can't see myself. Oh, here we go. And there's my slideshow. So perfect. I'm here to tell everybody that cares about girls and women's rights and sports and single-sex spaces that there is something you can do. You can stand up, you can hold a sign, you can flyer, you can stick cards under people's windshield wiper, anywhere you are, really. And you may or may not get some news out of it, but you're going to empower other women to be able to know that they can also speak up. So I'm going to show you some photos. So we started right after the first ICONS conference in Vegas. My friend Cynthia, we met there and became friends, and we decided to meet up because we both live in San Francisco. We were both very frustrated that we had nobody to talk to about this. We live in very woke San Francisco, and people don't want to hear about this. It's absolutely mind-boggling. But we found each other, and we decided our inspiration would be the women on Turf Island, which is Great Britain, who've been fighting this outwardly longer than we have so far. And they're having some wins over there. But there's a large group of very famous British women in this photo that they got together, and I think they got a little bit drunk, and they were really happy to be together and to be on the same page about fighting for women. So, J.K. Rowling's in that picture, along with a bunch of other lesbians slash luminaries. Thank you. This is our first happy hour, one of them, at Cynthia's house. And she made that drink. I didn't. There's way too many olives in it. But we were really excited to talk to each other, which we did a lot. No matter if we were having a happy hour or not, we were able to talk a lot and really kind of hone our messages. And it's been important for us to be able to do that. And I'm hoping all of you will find somebody close enough to you to do the same thing. It's empowering and great. Kelly J. Keene, also from Britain, came through San Francisco, and we supported her there. And we're big fans of Riley Gaines, who also has been to San Francisco and was held hostage at SF State University.
Aren't so we support her. Video, Julie? Aren't you in that picture? I mean,
I am in the background. I'm wearing the mask and the hat. I used to be undercover, and now I'm out in public because I feel like it's very important for women to be able to be out in public and just tell the truth. You know, women are punished quite a bit, and we have to stand up. We have to stand up for ourselves and for others. So that's what we're doing. Next. Here's where we are. So that's us tied to the stake being burned. And the guy who's burning us says, I completely agree with you. This is a problem, obviously. We need the guys and everybody else to stand up for us before we get burned at the stake. Everybody just needs to get on board with reality here. And that's what we're here to talk about. We've done quite a few actions. We make our own banners using recycled materials that we find at, recycled art warehouses that teachers end up buying a lot of stuff at. Well, we do it too. And I buy really good, markers and pens off Amazon that I can recommend. So you can make the banner say anything you want, and it's very cheap. And if you buy a t-shirt from any of these women that are fighting anywhere in the world, it's a great billboard and makes people know where you stand. They may not like it, but the more of us that do it, the more protected we'll be.
Nice.
We have protested at gender clinics. That's where Cynthia and I both started out doing this together, just the two of us. And then we've joined other groups at different times, also around the gender stuff and around kids and transition and how dangerous and awful and unstudied and just terrible it is. Kids are getting ruined by this ideology of that you can change sex, which is just not true. So this was the Icons Conference this year in Denver. It was so much fun. Got to meet a bunch of people from Turf Island again. Kellen Joyce on the left, and then Sharon Davies from Australia on the right. Really, really fun and amazing to hear their stories and what each country is kind of fighting through on their own. But to be able to join up in one room and be a part of something so empowering was really important. Next. These are some more of the homemade banners. On the right, that is the state championship in California for track and field last year. And we were there. We got into the stadium and we were able to unfurl our banners after the race with the boy ended. And we had Kara Dansky from Women's Declaration International with us. She's on the far right of that photo on the right. She came out to support us and to speak. And we had a great turnout with women from LA that are in our group and also women from Sacramento that we all joined up out near Fresno where that championship was.
Julie, can you talk a little bit about how you've accumulated this group, like how you've done outreach and pulled these women together?
Yeah, sure. So Cynthia and I started a group and we created Twitter accounts. And one of the Twitter accounts, we do recruitment on that one. It's called SF Turf Central. And we also met up with another person who runs Women Are Real. And so we've all joined forces. And on, you can go to the website, womenarereal.org. And if you're interested and you want to meet up, even if you're in another part of the country, we can try to hook you up with other people we've heard from. You can sign up at the womenarereal.org website. And we vet everybody into our group because we want to stay safe and keep everybody's privacy safe. Some people are not able to be out. They can't afford to lose their job or be beaten up on the street for speaking out. And that could happen. But again, we're speaking out to lower the cost for everybody so that we can all be truthful and understand reality and be out about it. So we've grown from Cynthia and me to over 100 women. There's about 40 that are quite active. We have a WhatsApp chat group, and then we do quite a few actions. And we do, like I said, different actions, whether it be sporting events or political events or gender clinics, et cetera. We have people with very different talents and ideas and interests. So we try to supply support for all of those things. So the more we're out there, the better.
You continue doing your happy hours and kind of just being a support group socially for each other. Is that still a big part of it?
Yep. We have one every month, if not more than one. We started doing them just in San Francisco, but we've got a lot of women from Oakland and the East Bay. So we alternate. Maybe we have two or three in San Francisco, and then we go over to the East Bay and have one there. We've also had several in the South Bay, south of San Francisco, because we gained some members down there. So we want it to be convenient. We don't want people to have to travel forever, you know, each week or each month, I should say. But what we're really struggling is we're doing so many events that it's hard to keep up. Like we have women doing something every day or every week. And so, you know, it's a, I don't know, what's that? How do you say it? It's like it's an abundance and it's hard to keep up, but it's a good problem to have. So,
are you finding that just being able to be in a social group like that, where you're gathering women together to be able to just verbalize in some cases for, you know, just some of the first few times that they've been able to talk about what they're facing, that it gives them courage to take bigger steps later on?
Definitely. It helps all of us to be able to have conversations with other people because we can sound out what we're feeling. We can hear other arguments along the same lines. We can work those into our own arguments. And the social aspect, we just had a big Halloween party. It was our 1-year bash, held a little bit late because we got hit by COVID. But we had a lot of women show up in great costumes and very celebratory. And we got to talk about all the actions that we've done and having met all the Icons women and how important that's been to starting our group and continuing and fighting. So I think it helps all women to understand that they have support. There's a place to talk about this stuff and they don't feel alone anymore. And it makes you feel crazy if you have all these thoughts and people are doubting reality all around you. It makes you feel crazy. So we we have a space for reality, and that's the most important thing. Yeah, so I said before I was undercover for a while, then a few months ago I just decided it's not really my personality to be hiding. I'm pretty fiery and I'd like to get involved in things, and so I decided it was time to take the step to be able to talk to the press. Kara Dansky's been doing it for years and standing up for women as a feminist with Women's Declaration or WDI. And Kim and Marshy have been out there doing it with their faces on camera. And I just felt like it was time for more women to be able to speak out and to, you know, reduce the cost to everybody else of doing the same thing. So,
okay. So this was another event we went to. This was at the Davis Public Library, and it was going to be a presentation about boys and girls sports. And they immediately kicked us out for saying the word biological male. So they claimed that that was violating their library rules. And so they kicked us out. So we went out to the grassy area nearby and we spoke anyway, and we broadcast it on social media. They later figured out that they had violated our First Amendments and had to apologize and offer us up, you know, a space to come talk again. That's still in progress. Some other events, we've grown so much. I get, like I said, we started with two women, and we've grown to over 100. I would say 40 or 50 are pretty active with our group and show up. That's me on the left there. My pet peeve, is Megan Rapinoe, whatever her name is, who has sold out all girls and women sports. She's decided to say that the men should just come on in and participate after she retires. So I can't say enough bad things about her. We supported Riley when she got kidnapped here in San Francisco. We did a 3-day truck sort of extravaganza around the Bay Area. We were really proud to support her and just really disgusted with San Francisco State University, who allowed these trans rights activists to threaten her like that. We do Operation Overpass. Kelly J. Keene was nearly murdered in New Zealand by a mob of trans rights activists. So we decided to support her the next day, and got these banners up over 101 where all the traffic, you know, slows down, and hopefully got a lot of eyeballs and got that out on social media as well. These are some other Operation Overpasses we've done. Save Title IX. Women Are Real is the group that I use, since I'm sort of undercover on my Twitter account, which is just my recruitment account really for our group. But Women Are Real has a website, womenarereal.org. We have business cards that we use to put on people's windshields at sporting events where boys are competing with girls that shouldn't be there. It's a pretty easy way to get your feet wet. If you want to be active and you want to spread the word, you can make your own business cards, or we can give you our template. It's sort of specific to our area because it has the word CIF on it. Which is a California specific for high schools and middle schools. But anybody can do activism. That's what I'm here to tell you. It started with me, and then it started with Cynthia, and we kept going from there. So you got to find one or two people who believe what you believe, that you can trust. You got to create some guidelines that you can all follow, because you don't want sort of rogue people that you can't trust if you're going to be going into kind of a hectic situation. Start small. You can put business cards on the cars in the parking lots where the boys are playing against girls. You could create some flyers. And then you can step up if you have a couple people, create some banners and sneak them into the venue and unfurl them after the event's over. You want to have social media to help you get the word out. Because, you know, what we're up against is the mainstream media won't cover us, obviously. Only the right wing or, you know, more conservative outlets are covering us. And all the people that need to be hearing this are not hearing it because mainstream media is not covering this. So we have to be our own citizen journalists and get our word out however we can. Here's a little more close-up of what our cards look like. Those are the suffragette colors, by the way. That's why we use those colors. If you're going to go into an event and unfurl banners, you want to think sort of tactically and strategically. You want to have an entry and an exit plan. Safety is a priority, so that's why you want that exit plan. You want to get video and photos if you can, so you want to have at least one person sort of dedicated to that. You want to learn how to edit that stuff and get it out on social media. And my friend who does my editing for me said, make sure you tell them to film it horizontally with their cameras, you know, like sideways. I guess it makes a lot easier to edit. You can create anonymous social media accounts that you can put the stuff out on, and you can at icons or at Women Are Real or at SF Turf Central, and we will, you know, push that out even further and get more people's eyeballs on it. The key always for these things is to pressure the federations or the organizations that are allowing this to happen. This is not about pressuring the kids. We want to take all the pressure off the girls, and we're only there to support them. And our message is always positive about the girls. We don't say the word trans. We don't talk about boys. It's positive messaging that nobody can really argue with, even though they might try anyway. It's hard to argue with. We support the original intent of Title IX, and we support girls. This is just a close-up. So this is something I created for our group when we went to the state finals. You know, I had to kind of look at the stadium and get some background information from one of the parents who had a girl racing to know where the visitor stands were and where their home stand was, where the start of the race was, so that we could plan where the finish was, where we were going to unfurl those banners. And then also importantly, where the exit is, so that we knew which way we were going to get out of there in case things got a little sketchy. They didn't. We got some high fives and some thumbs up. And we got escorted out, and they apologized to us at the end, which was pretty funny. So how to get started on getting active? You got to find fellow parents or sports fans who have insider information, hopefully, about which races or sports to watch out for in your area. So I'm watching a particular school in our area, and I didn't have time this week because I had two other more important things come up activism-wise, but I'm going to go out next week and check out the volleyball team that supposedly has the boy playing on it and make sure that's happening. And I will put cards on every car in the parking lot, and then I'll pick another game and I'll show up with my friends and we will unfurl the banners. That's just how we roll. We don't advertise where we're going to be because we don't want really like negative / you know, violent, crazy people to show up, which can happen. We just do our thing. We make a plan and then we follow through with it. We film it and then we put it up on social media, and then people get the word that way. You can find people in your area. Marshy taught me this on Twitter, maybe even Instagram. I'm not sure about Instagram, but if you do a search for, like, I don't know, TERFs or women's sports San Francisco, and then I could try to find people that are talking about the same things I'm talking about, and then you check their history and you kind of see if they're really on your side or not, and then you might want to have a DM or a phone call with them to vet them and make sure that they're on your side, because there are some people that will try to infiltrate and, you know, mess you up. I think this is a great idea. We haven't done it yet, but I think there are parents in different conferences who could swap protesting at another school or another conference. And then the other parents from that conference could swap and do it at, you know, like flip-flop. So nobody can get kicked out of the school or the conference if you're not the ones that actually are participating in that conference. That's what we do. None of us have kids in these conferences or whatever. We have nothing to lose, and they can't really do anything to us or punish us aside from kick us out. You can go in disguise, which we've done many times, and that's kind of fun, you know, searching for disguises on Amazon. It's almost Halloween season, for God's sake. Okay, so don't be afraid to start small. Just do it. Get those business cards made. One person can put business cards on people's windshields and raise awareness. You know, 3 to 4 people can do Operation Overpass, and you can do that anonymously. You can wear a disguise to do that too, in case, you know, you got to pick a good overpass. Pick one that has a lot of traffic under it. And maybe one with not too many crazy people. It's hard in San Francisco. They're all crazy. You got 4 people, maybe 5. You can unfurl 1 or 2 banners at the end of a race or at the end of a competition where there's a boy competing against girls. Get the film and get it up on social media. We'll help you with that if you need it. And be social. Like, we don't sit around on Zoom meetings all day long at all. What we do is there's 2 or 3 of us that are kind of still organizing things. And we spend more of our time doing that. Then we spend some time doing that, which is really important so that we can stay active and grow our active organization and try to spread the word to people like you that are here tonight. But we have grown so much that we've had to put a little bit of structure in place so that we can manage what we're doing and who's involved. But we, every month for sure, we have one social happy hour or a party or a coffee hour or whatever it is, so that people can show up, get to know each other. And then you're out there together in doing activism, and you know who that person is and you can trust them. So for us, that's been really important to us. And it's felt like a really powerful way to be involved and grow friendships. I lost my whole community around this stuff. Nobody wants to hear me talk about it that I used to know. But now I have 40 people, or at least 10 people in San Francisco I can talk to and I can relax with, and I'm not going to feel judged or like I shouldn't be saying what I'm saying. It's really important for our mental health to have that. When you're protesting, if somebody comes up and has a problem with what you're doing, you just remain calm. You might want to have one person who's pretty well versed in this stuff be the speaker for the group. We don't yell, we don't argue or fight. What we want to show is that they're being unreasonable. Or if they're being supportive, we love that too, because it's important to show that there are people that understand what's going on. They are living in reality along with us. They may not be able to say that in their own community, but I've gotten high fives before, thumbs up, that are very furtive, but they're there. And it's really heartening to see that and to feel that. What I'm doing here right now with you guys is trying to, again, like that cartoon showed, I'm trying to lessen the cost of speaking out. Kim and Marshy have been doing this. They're on the front lines, and they have been for a long time. We're doing it here in the Bay Area of San Francisco. It's not easy work. It's a long slog. We are getting some victories here and there with different state laws, but it's really important to see that parts of society really understand what we're talking about. So we look out for that too. And we will film that and absolutely show that people understand what we're doing and why we're there with the banners. We always try to show that we're the sane ones. We remain positive. We never talk about the boy. We just talk about girls need their rights to their own sports. So we've done a lot, and we're going to continue to do more. We're here to lower the cost of speaking out. We really, really need your help. I know that there are sporting events across the United States, across the world, really, but we're talking to you guys right now. There are boys participating and men participating. We know it. We see it on Twitter. We see it, you know, not on the mainstream news, but we know where to look and we know what's happening. We don't have enough people to unfurl a banner at those events, though. Networking is really important. We want people across the states to feel like they can go out and let people know this is wrong, so that it lessens the cost of everybody speaking out. Eventually, we'll start getting some more mainstream news, and that will be a huge thing for us to actually have reality going out to people, etc. Let's see. I have to read around that comment. Okay. That's all. We need your help. The movement really needs you. Icons can't do this. They can't be everywhere. We can't be everywhere. We need you to step up and to help us spread the word about this, to help the girls and the women who are getting violated right now. There's my presentation.
Thank you so much, Julie. I learned quite a bit. I've been doing this a long time, but that I'm taking notes. That was amazing. I just want to say, Julie, incredible presentation. It was so incredible. We're going to have you redo the first 5 minutes.
I saw you put the recorder on a little late there, Marshy.
It can only get better. And incredible advice. And we will hope to remind you all through social media and newsletters of little things that you can take away and use, because one of our biggest questions is, I want to help, but how do I do it? Yeah. Well, we are handing you the baton, because you hold it in your own hand to just be creative in your area, because everybody has their own network and their own sphere of influence that you can impact. So join us in the big events like today, but also in your own individual card passing out.
Yep.
Carding.
Yeah, I love it.